contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil is the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Probably the most misunderstood of all the petitions, because what exactly are we asking of the Lord? Does the Lord lead us into temptation? What does this mean and why should we be praying it? You are tuned into Abounding Grace Radio today, and we are continuing our study in the Lord's Prayer, coming to this great petition, and we seek to understand that and help you understand that more, so that you would be more of a praying Christian. The Lord calls us to pray and to not lose heart. And this petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is all about the Lord keeping and helping and overcoming and protecting us from the terrible enemies that attack us every day. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org, the numbers 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. We're so grateful you take time out of your day to tune into the program. Here is now the message, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, as we continue our study today on Abounding Grace Radio in the Lord's Prayer. Thanks for tuning in to the program.
It seems to be the first great thing we have to consider here. Lead us not into temptation can be a bit confusing for us. That we're asking God to lead us in this way, because I don't think I have to make the case tonight that in yourselves you'll go in this way with no problem at all. This way is already in us. We are already inclined to do things and to put ourselves into situations, into bad situations, into tempting situations that'll lead us right into a path of sin. This is what we're naturally inclined to do. You still ask the question then, well, does God lead us into it? Does God lead us into it? Remember how Jesus is teaching us to pray here. Don't lead us into it. Think of David. One evening, David got up from his bed, strolled around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing, a very beautiful woman. So David sent someone to inquire about her, and he reported, "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to him, he slept with her." God could have kept the circumstances from happening. God could have prevented those circumstances from being ordered that way, couldn't he have? But he didn't. Why? Well, I think it's clear when you look at that particular passage as an example. David was in a very calloused, prideful state. The nation's off to war. David was careless. David was strolling around. David was not... was in this position of laziness, and all of a sudden he falls into this. This is important tonight to consider, because James is teaching that God is not the author of evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but we see that even the wicked acts of David in this particular case and our acts, sometimes God does not intervene in his ordering of the circumstances because of pride, and orders things in the way that they are for a purpose. The Westminster Confession says this: "The most wise, righteous, and gracious God does oftentimes leave for a season his own children to manifold temptations." See, there it is. He leaves them to manifold temptations. Why? Why? Why does he have all the circumstances ordered and leaves us then to these temptations to face them? "He leaves for a season his own children to manifold temptations and the corruptions of their own hearts to chastise them for their former sins. or to discover unto them the hidden strength of corruption, which you never think about in your lives, and the deceitfulness of your own hearts, of their hearts, that they may be humbled. There it is. And to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon himself, and to make them more watchful against all future occasions of sin, and for sundry other just and holy ends. You see? Why then at times are we led into it? God has a specific purpose of drawing out and showing you your hearts, showing you you think you're going in your own strength. You don't realize how weak you are, and at times you don't even see the deceitfulness of your own hearts, what you're prone to do. You will fall right into it, and that is God's way of teaching and at times working and training so that you will return and learn more and more to pray, lead us not into it. You see? Westminster Larger Catechism says it this way. In this petition, which is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, acknowledging that the most wise, righteous, and gracious God, for various holy and just ends, may so order things. He's ordered everything, doesn't he? That we may be assaulted, foiled, and for a time led captive by temptation. It's really a remarkable thought, because what this prayer request then is doing is producing in us a humility that every day we get up when we pray this, we would realize how dependent and needful we are for him to order all of our lives so that we don't go sin, which we don't take seriously enough, do we? Now you understand why we have to pray it. Which I find immensely comforting tonight. That Jesus is commanding us to pray this way, it really is such a beautiful thought at the end of the prayer to think about that this is calling us to see that every bit of life is under God's sovereign care. Every bit of your circumstances. You're going to get up tomorrow and you're going to think, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. You don't even think about all the things that are hitting you and are coming at you, and the attacks that are happening, and the way he's ordering it all to keep you and preserve you. And so at times, if he suffers us to fall into it, he has a purpose by our own wills, right? Because this is what we want. This is often what we will go do. Each one is led away by his own desires and enticed. God lets us fall into that and orders it all the things so he, as the confession says, leaves us for a season to these temptations, has a purpose in strengthening us when he draws us back so that we would depend upon him in prayer all the more. So we're compelled to understand this petition is asking the Father that he would not allow us to willingly take ourselves into it. That everything would be ordered and directed in our lives, that we ourselves would not willingly take ourselves into temptation at the instigation of the devil. I've said before, it's remarkable how easy it is to justify paths of sin in our life. Oh, it's so easy. And I've said it's remarkable how easy it is when all of a sudden we're confronted with the right and the wrong thing, when we're pressed that way, how we will begin to justify falling into it and not even want to see it. God sovereignly orders your lives, every bit of it. And without his intervention, without his ordering the circumstances, you don't realize how quickly you could dump it all and run. When we sing this, prone to wander, prone to leave the God that we love. That's somewhat experiential, isn't it? Of course it is. The second reason to appreciate and understand is to understand who is constantly coming at you. The stress tonight here, all the stress tonight, this petition recognizes us, Jesus understands, and we see this all taught throughout the scriptures. We have three sworn enemies always coming at us. Always. You know, this is a reason the Christian life is called a warfare, a battle. Boys and girls, you're supposed to put on armor when you get up. You're supposed to put on the spiritual armor of God every day. Anyone who goes out to war without knowing the opponent is going to get crushed, isn't he? The most successful, I mean, we know this in the world of sports, the most successful sports teams know that the way to beat the opponent is to know that opponent, to know their moves, to know their players, to know what the good players are going to do and how they're able to do it and who can defend them and who can stop them. Every sports team has to calculate and consider the ways to win. Paul uses these analogies for the Christian life all the time. Consider the runner, consider the farmer, consider. Ask how much time athletes put in every day at practice to make their game better, to learn how to defeat their opponents. You can be sure their opponents are studying them with what weaknesses they have. That's true, isn't it? Our enemies are doing the same thing to us, studying us. They're learning how to come at us. All too often, we don't take this seriously, and Jesus specifically says to, as some of the translations have here, it's important to realize, deliver us from evil or the evil one. It really makes no difference. It's the same point. The devil is coming at us. The devil has angels who attack us and assault us. Paul often talked like this. Peter, Jesus said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. We'll come back to that in a minute. Peter realized that Satan runs around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, he's crafty. And it always has to do with some kind of attack on the Word of God. If he couldn't destroy you, he's going to do something to undermine your faith and undermine your belief, just like he did in the Garden of Eden, and call the whole thing into question. You ever felt that? Is any of this really true? You been there? It's the first thing he did to Eve. You're not believing this stuff, are you? He's always working to break down your view of Scripture and of God and make yourself your own God. Always hitting you. If I had time, I could go through a million ways he does this. And he's strategic. He's good. Good at it. This one, God said, is more crafty than any beast of the field. Boys and girls, when you decide to disobey your parents, or you fight with your siblings, this is when he loves the moment. There are opportune times. When tensions are high in our marriages, and we're uneasy toward one another, or we're facing depression, or we're facing attack and doubt. These are his greatest tools to come along and assault you. Oh, he's good at it. Flaming darts of the evil one always coming. Paul said it. Wrestle with flesh and blood, principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this age. Look at all of it. All the dark ideas and all of the principalities and things that are against the knowledge of God. One pastor said, evil takes on a form suited to each personality according to his or her fascination. And in the midst of the whole world of temptation and seduction, we can do nothing but pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. He's right. Not only is the devil our enemy, but then you have the world. I look at my children, I think about this all the time, the world, and it pulls me in. Don't love the world, the things in the world. The love of the world, it's not from God. For all the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And that's all passing away. And we are so prone, as it lures us and comes at us, to adopt all of its desires. When we talk about the world, we're not talking about the earth. We're talking about the whole system. The whole system that makes this go in the world. You see it every day on the news. Its values, its desires, what it thinks of. And we're constantly pulled to it. The scariest enemy, though, is you. It's you. James says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But listen, each one is tempted when he is drawn away and by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has given its birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. My mom would always say to me growing up, Chris, you can go out and you can choose sin, and it's fun. It'll make you feel great, but it will ruin you. And it always bothered me. I thought, well, how do I give into that so easily? It's our own sinful natures. Our own desire, our own flesh. So you see, you understand why we're praying it? This is the SOS call. Do you ever struggle with the same sin in your life? Do you ever feel sick with yourself because of that same stupid sin that you say, you know, at some point I can't be a Christian because I keep struggling with the same sin? And what do you think I'm going to say? I'm going to say, well, first off, Jesus has forgiven. Jesus is loved. Confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 70 times 7. But I'm going to then ask you the question. Do you take seriously praying this? And my guess is that in those who are stuck in repeated patterns of sin will find in the course of their lives, this aspect of prayer is completely absent. This is what the prayer's for. This is the Lord saying, I'll help you. Come to me. Come to me. Think of the Christian life, boys and girls, like the Battle of the Alamo. One of the worst stories about the Alamo is that they cried for help and no one came. Crockett, Bowie, held off the infamous General Santa Anna and 7,000 of his men for 13 days, and then Santa Anna broke in and killed. You have Satan and his army leading. Inside you have your own hearts. You've got the world. They're caving in on you constantly. And the reality is you can't hold these guys off. That's why this prayer's here. Until you realize that, you're going to feel a constant amount of defeat. Until we're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not challenging the integrity of the forgiveness he's already given you. You're forgiven. But the struggle in sin is what this is about. The struggle and battle in the sin is what this is about. As a Christian, this is sanctification. This is the prayer request for sanctification. And am I wrong in saying it's probably the most neglected one? The wonderful news of the gospel is that by faith, the righteousness of Jesus is imputed to you. But the Lord also wants you to live in the joy of that comfort. And the Lord also wants you to enjoy the victory that's been won for you in Christ. And the Lord also wants you to know the joys of putting to death sin in your life. And he's serious about that. Forgiveness, of course, is done, but it always has in view in the Christian life of now putting it to death. If by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. Romans 8. It's John Owens. Great work on sin and temptation. On Romans 8:13, we were good Wesleyans, we would believe in this life that we could obtain perfection and no longer sin, but we don't believe that. We believe there's a Romans 7 struggle still going on, and that this is the great way the Lord has given us to come to Him and talk to Him and tell Him about the struggle and ask Him for help. And Jesus will pray for you that your faith would not fail. It leads me to ask, are we concerned that after we're forgiven, that after the Lord has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, are we concerned not to do those things again? Do we really care to stop? Do we really understand all of life being so ordered by Him that we need Him every minute to help us and uphold us? It's somewhat hypocritical to ask the Lord just to get me out of the consequences of the offenses and then never take seriously what got me into the mess to begin with. Right? Or to never keep me again from what it took His Son to die for on the cross. I need Your constant help, Lord. Constant. That's the prayer. Take seriously the presence of sin still in our lives until we're in glory and it's all done. That's why you need this prayer request. That's why you need to pray to Him this. He's inviting you and He wants to help you. How does it sound? Lord, forgive me for my sins. But You know how weak I am. You know that even though I'm pardoned, that particular sin or sin continues to crouch at my door. Think of the Lord's language to Cain. Temptation for my weakness always seeks to smack me in the face, and without You, I'll give in to temptation every single time. And if You don't order the circumstances of my life, the things that I see, the positions that I'm put in, if I don't take that seriously and You don't help me, I will go into it. Don't lead me into it. You see? The devil shoots, I've got the world coming at me, and my own flesh wants it. Lord, without You, I'm too weak. I'll keep on sinning. I will covet. I will do everything against Your law. Lead me not into these things. I love what the Heidelberg says. We're so weak in and of our poor selves that we simply cannot make it throughout the day, and it's telling us here, let us not go down in defeat, and the Lord will not let His children go down in defeat. That's the beauty of this. Lord, uphold me. They say that the ship, the boat receiving the SOS from the Titanic, had no idea of the seriousness of the call for help. Had no idea. The ship was going down, and they tried to get there, but they didn't realize the seriousness of it. That's not the case with your Lord. You know, He sympathizes with all your weaknesses because the Spirit led Jesus into temptation. Remember? The Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. For what end? To beat it for you. To go ahead of you. So that ultimately you can know that the Son of God has defeated the devil, the world, and your own flesh. And you're not under His condemnation. Remember what Hebrews says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are. He was led into it, yet without sin. So we can now pray, lead us not into it, because Jesus was led into it for us. You see? Now we can pray that. And the Father hears that. Jesus has gone through this for you, and He knows, He understands. He understands your weakness. He understands temptation. And He is ready to give you help. There is grace in time of need. So why wouldn't you pray it? Isn't that the motivating factor here? Alexander the Great would ride out in front of his armies and take the hits. Alexander the Great was a mortal man. Jesus rode out in front of the army and won. Therefore, pray it. He has overcome temptation. He's overcome death and the grave. to help you in your weaknesses. Look who's offering you help. Jesus himself, by the Spirit, as you come to the Father. Let's be a praying people and understand the privilege we have to come through right to the throne of grace. You don't have to go to a pope. Don't have to go to anyone else. You can go right to him. He'll help you. It's our own foolishness not to talk to him. He's loved you in this way. Enjoy your God. Talk to him. Pray to him.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.